This morning, I want to spend some time in the book of Ephesians this morning. We're going to start right off with Ephesians 1 this morning. Thank you for giving us the opportunity, Todd and Beth, to be here this morning. We were supposed to be here a few weeks ago. We were still going to be here this morning, but we were going to be here a few weeks ago as well. God had other plans. How am I? God had other plans. The Sunday before we were supposed to be here, or the Saturday before the Sunday we were supposed to be here, Maya woke up. She was on about, 30 hours of 102 temp. And at this point, she woke up that Saturday morning with lips and a tongue about 5 to 10 times their normal size. You couldn't even see the back of her mouth. So that set us off on an interesting 5-day journey and a lot of trips back and forth to the doctor and the hospital and labs and whatnot. And you know, they never did figure out what was going on there. Lab work. After the second blood draw, Maya said, "If I have to do this again, I'm going to be mad." Maya doesn't like needles at all, not even the prick in the finger. And so she didn't quite know what a blood draw was. They told me, "Yeah, can you get her right over to the lab? We need to do a blood draw." And I'm like, Maya doesn't know what this is. So we get over there, and there was a gentleman already ahead. He was there ahead of us, and so she's sitting there, and she's across in the waiting area there in Plainwell. If you've been to that lab, you can see them taking blood draws, you know. And so she's watching this take place, and she's like, "Is that what they had? They had to stick my arm with that?" "Yeah, honey, and you can do this." And so, it's like, okay, keep your eyes on me, hold my hand, you know, don't watch. But God answered your prayers, and she's doing great. And as we went to the last doctor's appointment a week ago, Friday, the doctor said, "You know, we're still waiting for one culture, but everything keeps coming back negative. You know, we don't know what's going on here." And she was starting to turn the corner with the mouth stuff. And they did figure out she had pneumonia, but, you know, like, we don't know what the mouth thing is. Mysteries. But we are so glad to be here this morning, and looking forward to spending some time in Ephesians. Ephesians 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. You know, I always, in the prison epistles, the letters Paul wrote while in prison, he addresses himself always an apostle, which in the original text, as you recall, means messenger. You know, he always does that in all four. You know, he's always pointing that out. But he's also always pointing out that, I forgot to put the little clip on the wire back here, so I'll be fiddling with this probably most of the morning. He's always always pointing out that by the will of God, it's by God's will. He never forgets that. He always points that out. It's by God's will. I think that's something we need to hang on to. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which his purpose in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard this message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal and promised the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we praise you and we thank you for your word. Your word, Father. Not just a word, but your word. And Father, your word has a specific message for each of us this morning. An individual, independent message for each individual in this place, Father. So, Father, I pray that you would silence any voices that seek to drown out and distract, and keep us from hearing that truth, that personal truth that you have for each of us. Father, reveal yourself to us. Continue to move in this place as your Spirit has been moving, Father, as we continue to worship you through the study of your word. Speak boldly, Father. Speak clearly. And it's in the name of my Lord and Savior that I pray, and all God's people said, amen. Ephesus was a place, it was a place just like Colossae. It was a major trade route. They had a lot going on, okay? It was a thriving area, thriving city for a while, and hustle and bustle, you know? Economy was good. But like most cities that have fallen, communities that have fallen, their economy started to struggle. Ephesus had a lot of pressures coming in, just like we do today. See, there's nothing different, nothing new under the sun. You know, the people of the early church had a lot of struggles, just as we do today. A lot of outside pressures, just as we do today. Ephesus found themselves being plagued, the church of Ephesus found themselves being plagued by cults. Historians believe that they actually took on a deity to worship, an Anatolian deity is what they called it. An Anatolian deity that was taken over by the Greeks, It was under the name of Artemis, the Diana of the Romans. And the Diana of the Romans was the goddess, was believed to be the goddess of wild animals and the hunt. I'm pretty sure Todd's not out this weekend worshiping Diana, the goddess of the hunt, right? We hope not. You know, it's and so they had a lot of pressure, and what happened was this belief system moved in, and with it came a lot of commerce. They developed a lot of idols and figurines and trinkets and things, worshiping, you know, this cult, worshiping this goddess. And that ended up kind of helping support their economy. So the church was really struggling because, well, the economy, the shipping, excuse me, the shipping route had been impacted by, you know, the drought and so, things happening within the region. And so they had to replace the economy with something. So, you know, here comes, you know, the process of making money off of this cult and this belief system. Isn't it interesting that even then, one of the major challenges to their walk with Christ was tied to their wallet? Economics. Economics. It's a very powerful weapon that Satan uses over all of us, isn't it? Our wallets. So they found themselves under that pressure. And Paul was seeking many things, but he was seeking to support them and encourage them and remind them of some things. Seeking to help them refocus. As we move forward, in verse 2, Paul says, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ." I want us to remember that in the book of John, we read, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." This letter to the Ephesians is to who? To the children of God. And to all of those that believed, he gave the right to be called children of God. In John, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And later on in John, actually it was before that, earlier in John, he says something about the truth. He makes a declaration that we need to always remind ourselves of. Something that happens when you and I accept the truth. We're set free. He says, we're set free. The truth will set you free. The truth sets us free. Through Christ, You are a child of God. We're getting ready to celebrate the Christ child. But we need to remember that through Christ, you are a child of God. Paul put it incredibly simple, because he just simply said, if you profess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, then you will be saved. We have to remember that we are a child of God. In verse 1, though, Paul says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ. The faithful in Christ. To God's holy people. See, in Christ, you are holy. In Christ, you are holy. Now, not holy like God is holy. That's not the context here. That's not the original language here. Holy as in set apart. We are set apart. You have been set apart from sin. Now, you've heard this said before, most likely. You hear it said often that you are set apart from the world. That doesn't mean that you're set apart from other people in the world. It means you are set apart from the sin of the world, the condemning sin of the world. In Christ, you are holy. You have been set apart from sin. We have been set apart from our sin in the eyes of God. That's our past sin. That's our present sin. That's our future sin. In Christ, you and I are holy. Through Christ, you are faithful. Through Christ, you are faithful. Do you ever think of yourself as being faithful? In Christ, we're faithful. Paul points this out to us. We're holy, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Remember, Paul said in Romans that if you profess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, you believe in your heart, then you will be saved. For it is by your mouth that you speak. It's by your heart. You have faith. You're faithful. It's your faith. See, in Christ, we're faithful. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Through Christ, you and I are blessed. We are blessed so much that we cannot even put into words how blessed we are. But we often think of this as the blessed that we are in tangible things, in materialistic realm. Oh, I'm blessed because of this, and I'm blessed because of that. I'm blessed because I have this and I have that. Or we think of it that we're blessed, you know, within our families. Now, I'm very thankful for Kaylin, Maya, and Isaac. I'm very blessed by Kaylin, Maya, and Isaac. But God wants us to remember that this blessed that we are is the blessing of being a child of God. And Paul goes on to unpack that a little more. The blessing, knowing that you are blessed because of the heavenly blessing that you and I receive. We are blessed in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption through the sonship, Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the ones he loves. Through Christ, you are chosen. As you move through the next few weeks, remember that you are chosen. Through Christ, you are chosen. You may not be chosen for that promotion. You may not be chosen for that sport team or that club or that clique. But you are chosen by God through Christ. You are chosen. You know, remember that Paul pointed out in the very beginning who this letter is to. God's holy people, his faithful. He didn't point out that it was to his perfect people, his flawless people. Did he? No. Through Christ, you are chosen. Through Christ, you are holy and blameless. You're blameless through Christ. God will not blame us for anything. Now, God will show us, the Bible teaches us, that God will show us that we will have to give an account for what we did, where we did not take his word and what we did not carry out and when we did not carry out his will. That give an account, you know. But that doesn't mean that we're still not blameless. We're blameless. You are blameless in Christ. I mean, that in itself should melt away so much anxiety for us. You know, like that kind of anxiety when you were a kid, or if you are a kid in my house or anybody's house, you know, where something has gone wrong, and it's like, okay, who did this? you know, and that anxiety starts coming over and the shame and the guilt. We can let go of all that with Christ, through Christ. Before God, we can let go of all that. Holy and blameless. Through Christ, you are loved. Through Christ, you are loved. And it's a love that can never be matched on this earth. There's nothing that will ever be provided by any human being on this earth that will ever match the love of God. And that love is available to everyone. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Through Christ, you are loved. In him, we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Through Christ, you are redeemed. He paid the price. You are redeemed. There's nothing any of us in this building will ever have to do to be forgiven by God apart from Christ. There's nothing. You are redeemed. Through Christ, you are forgiven. As we move into communion, that sacrament is all about that right there. The redemption, the price that was paid for you and I and every living human being. And the forgiveness that is freely offered to each of us. So as we move into communion, if the ushers would come forward, Never mind. It's interesting that the first Sunday of Advent, you know, and it's Communion Sunday. Because the preparation of the coming birth of Christ that we celebrate. No one had any idea. Mary had no knowledge at all. What was going to happen? I mean, she knew it was God. She knew it was the Holy Spirit, but she had no idea of the big plan at all. But as Jesus sat with the 12, he said, this one thing I want you to do. He said, I want you to remember me by doing this. So I'm going to ask us to maybe seek to zero in for a few minutes on what this is about to you. It's about you being redeemed through Christ. It's about you being forgiven through Christ.